Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I want the title shot.
Curtis Razor Blades!
That is it! Yes, no! At the rally! Whoa. All rallies to stop Subbu Dorji!
Wow! And I've always been one of these guys. You know, a lot of people count me out, but I'm a bad man.
Matt Pager!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Busy show today. Yes. It looks like coming in and joining us in just a moment. We have a main event winner, such a tragic way to win, but Curtis Blaze is with us, and Matt Schnell, after that incredible win over Subbu Dorji, we should have him today. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. And Curtis Blaze, who we're going to get on now, I want to know, like, that was 15 seconds. So he must have trained his ass off, had that big kick, but he got the victory in 15 seconds. He doesn't have a mark on him, not right. One injury. How does he feel after that? That's what I want to know, Jimmy. Is he happy? I mean, look, you can go in there, have the worst night of your life. He's got the victory, but it felt anticlimactic because it was
sure,
you know.
And I think, let me ask you what you think, Matt. And I'll ask Curtis too, because he's such a powerful grappler. But Matt Schnell beat Subbu Dorji. They call it a submission, but I think he should get the credit for a win by knockout because he did not submit. He was knocked out. He choked him out. And I think there's a difference. It was like when Holly beat Misha Tate. Misha Tate beat Holly. It was not a submission. She was choked out. She went unconscious. I think that should be classified as a knockout.
Or at least he wins by submission.
Submission, but he didn't submit. Isn't a submission when somebody submits and they tap? Submission is kind of saying uncle. He didn't say uncle.
No, that's true, but he didn't knock him out either. He passed him out. Like he choked him out. So the submission hold led to the
submission hold.
Unconscious.
Yeah.
So you could say, all right, he didn't submit, but that submission hold ended the fight.
Yeah, it did. And I'm just kind of nitpicking, but I think that a knockout we're putting somebody out cold is different than them submitting.
Well, listen, man, you know, that nitpicking, don't do that.
Why? I think it's very, very important.
I want
an answer. Let's get Curtis Blaze in here. I'm going to ask Curtis what he thinks. He'll probably agree with you.
Let's get him in here. There he is.
Hey, Curtis.
The lighting in here is awful. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You look great.
You look like you hardly even had a fight.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, we hardly had a fight.
Yeah, we got you.
And you're still over in London, right? You're vacationing?
Yeah.
Now, we were just talking about your fight. And, you know, hey, man, it's not your bad. I mean, you went there. You wanted the victory. You got the victory in 15 seconds. People are like, oh, but that's not the way he wanted it and this and that. My point is, maybe not. it's better with maybe a clean submission or knockout or just a decision. But hey, man, you're coming out unscathed. You got a mark on you. And, you know, at the end of the day, you want your health. You want your ranking. Mission accomplished, no?
Yeah, I guess if we're going, like, by the book, like, by the definition, yeah. But it doesn't, without the highlight, without the, like, without the scars, the battle wounds, it's like.
Yeah.
So, did it even happen? Did we even fight? We didn't fight. We it was like hard sparring for less than a minute.
Hey, it could have been worse though, because sometimes people get hurt, and better your opponent to get hurt than you, because that could have just as easily been you going home with an injury and a loss.
Yeah, no. If it has to be an injury, I'd rather not be me. And that's, I don't want people to think I'm hoping that my opponents get injured.
No, right.
If anyone has to get injured, I hope it's not me.
Hey, and Curtis, you didn't jump on him or anything, so you knew, and I watched the replay many, no, I mean like when he fell back, you knew he was hurt, like you just saw him grab his leg and you knew that was it.
Yeah. Other guys like Derek Lewis, he would have jumped on him. He would have jumped on him and hit him for no reason. Like, I could easily tell. No, because the reason I bring up Derek Lewis, because I watched the highlight of me and Derek fighting, and he knew I was out. He hit me again, so. It is what it is, but I'm not going to do that. I'm a martial artist. I respect every opponent, even Derek Lewis. I wouldn't do that to anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want anyone to have long-term injuries. I don't want that.
How does it feel when you see that? Like, when you feel like he hit you when you were out, does that make you feel like, what the fuck, man? Like, you knew I was out and you did?
That's fucked up, but he's a fucked up dude. That's fucked up. Everybody's not nice. And that's okay. He doesn't have to be nice. He didn't have to be. Like, I could have easily done that to Aspinall, and it would have been legal. It would have been legal, but I'm not going to do that because I know right from wrong, and that would have been wrong.
Was there an official statement on what even happened to his knee? I know it, like, locked out, or is there a snap or something? Or what do we even know?
Not officially. I did. Actually, he was in the room above me, directly above me, in my hotel still. So my dad, he was at the bar at the hotel. He met up with his dad. I guess they spoke. Then my dad comes up to our room. It's like, hey, I want you to go up to Aspinall's room. And I want you to have a beer with him. I'm like, okay. That's nice. I go up there. We have the beer. And yeah, he's talking. I don't want to divulge a lot of the info, but. He said he thinks it was the MCL. Thinks it was MCL. Yeah.
Wow, and it must have been he must have been happy you came up. I think he released a statement. He appreciated you coming up and sitting with him for a little while.
Yeah, man, it's all respect. Like, he's a respectable dude. Like, all week, just straight up honor, because it's just a fight. Like, we don't have to hate you to fight you. Like, we're gonna get paid. That's why I'm fighting you, because I'm getting paid.
The job, yeah. Like,
I'm not fighting because I have beef with you. I don't know anything about Aspinall until this week. I have no beef with him. Actually, I like him even more after this, which is awkward. I'm like, I know we're going to have to fight again. But yeah, I like him. He's a cool dude.
And Derek, Curtis, didn't you shoot down a rematch because you said, I don't want to risk my ranking? You're 4, he's 6, which I thought was very honest of you.
Yeah, I mean, I was already put my ranking at risk by taking on an opponent who was ranked below me. But I knew he's worth it. He's legit. He's highly skilled. A win over him means it means something, you know. I'm sorry. I think housekeeping. I'm sorry.
Yeah, housekeeping. I'm sorry. No, we like that. We like the unexpected.
No, we're good. We're good. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you.
You should do what I do. I'm always naked, and I open the door, and they just go away, and they stop bothering you.
They might not go away with Curtis, though. They might just go away with you, Jimmy.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not in Curtis Blade shape.
Don't get my man in trouble over there.
Hey, do you you had a really not a purposeful? I thought what you said about John Jones. I'm like, wow, he must have said something bad. And then I really read what you said, and it didn't seem like you were attacking Jones at all. I was surprised. Were you surprised he reacted that way?
I was so surprised. I'm like, bro. all I said, I'm like, I don't even think he read what I said. I said, I picked Stipe over John Jones in a heavyweight title fight because Stipe has 5-round experience at heavyweight. I didn't say John doesn't have any 5-round experience. I said he doesn't have any at heavyweight. I don't know how he's going to hold up to getting hit in the face by a 250-pound dude over 5 rounds. I don't know. Nobody knows. He doesn't know. So him acting the way he's acting, I'm like, bro, do you want to scrap? That's what it sounds like. Something he wants to scrap with me, which, okay, we could do that.
Yeah, it seems like you actually went out of your way to say that he was really good at a lot of things and what a well-rounded fighter he was, just not having one punch knockout power at heavyweight.
Which is that a lie? Like, when has he shown he has one punch knockout power? Which isn't a slight.
Right.
A lot of people don't have.
Yeah.
Israel, I love Izzy. I wouldn't say Izzy has one punch knockout power. You know who does? Cody Garbrandt. He has one punch knockout.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, but he doesn't have the belt though. So just because you have power doesn't mean you're like the best in the world. It's not an insult. I don't know why he took it the way he did because I didn't mean it as an offense, but
I don't care. You're so Curtis. You're almost too much of a nice guy. Listen, I don't want to say I like everybody, but you're an active fighter and you're so dangerous. Fuck everybody. You have enough friends, Curtis. You have enough friends. Do an M&M. Be like this. Ah, I meant all that shit. I meant all of it, John Jones. Let's fight. Not me. I'm a short ball man.
You,
Curtis. Curtis, we have Tui Vasa fighting Gone.
So Gone, yeah.
When is that? Because I'm excited for you because I like your matchup with either guy. Me too.
Neither one of them knows how to grapple very well. So whoever wins, I got next. Whoever wins.
Good. Do you want to go, Jimmy?
Oh, I was just going to say, you talk about grappling. When you watched Cyril against Francis Gone and you saw what happened on the floor, were you thinking in your mind, like, this would be a lot different if that was me on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, how could you not? How could I not? Like, I know Francis is very skilled, but grappling is not his niche. That's not his thing. That's like his plan, not even B, that's like plan D.
Yeah.
He did that. I understand why he did it, because he had the injury with his knees. I get it. He being smart. Like, I'm going to win this fight. However, yeah. I got to win it. But the fact that he was able to win it that way, I can't help but be like, I know I could do that.
Not only that, Curtis, I don't think he so much as won it as Gon lost it. Like, Gon had the fight won. And in the last round, I believe he went down for a leg lock, didn't he? That made him lose the position. Yeah. And that made him fuck. He would have won that fifth round if he didn't go for that shit. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
A lot of the fans like that. They like when you risk it, but when you risk it, you risk a lot of money. You risk the ranking. They don't understand. They're like, oh, you shouldn't be scared to do anything. And not that I'm scared, but I'm playing the odds. Like, I need to win. But if you don't win, like, you don't do shit. Like, if you don't win an MMA, you can have a great fight. Like, Hosmat versus Burns. Great fight by Burns. But because he lost, no one's talking about Burns because he lost.
Yeah.
If you don't win the fight, everything you did prior to that, it doesn't really matter in the eyes of majority of MMA fans. It's only the winner that gets the flowers.
When you look at both you matched up with either one of those guys, with Gon versus Tui, Tai
Tuivasa. Yeah.
Tuivasa as much as he works on his wrestling, it's really not a great matchup at all for him. It just really isn't. I mean, because your strength, and not only that, now you got your new footwork, man. That might have been 15 seconds, but we see the way you're moving and the way you're believing in your hands more. But it's such a difference between the grappling experience between you and Tuivasa. That's a fucking problem for him, I feel. With Gon accepts going to his back. He feels like he's going to work submission. And I think that's a fucking problem for him. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, I don't know, Curtis. You should be. I'm very excited for you because it seems like in the near future we could be fighting for that belt.
Bro, I've been here. I've been top five since 2018. Ever since I beat Alistair, I've been waiting. I got the experience. I've been through the fire. I've had a five round experience. I have all the boxes. There's an X in every box. I got it.
What do you think about Gane and Tuivasa? Tuivasa now, he's in the top, I guess the top five or six, is going to be fighting. He's beat some great fighters. I mean, again, he did knock out Derek and Augusto Sakai, and he's beat some really tough fighters. But now there's a different, almost the top five, a different level of fighter.
People forget, Tuivasa lost to Sergey Spivak. And no shade to Spivak.
Right.
But I'm a better version of Spivak. Like, I'm Amazon, he's Wish. Like, if you lost to Spivak, I'm going to do it to you worse. So, yeah, I feel good against Tuivasa.
Yeah, he got submitted in the second, I think. And yeah, I think either one of those matchups is good for you. So I guess you just wait and see what happens. And, you know, you're healthy and ready to go whenever they need you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm healthy. I'm ready. But I figure after the fight, maybe December, January, that's when I'll get the winner of that fight.
All right, well, Curtis, look, thank you for jumping on with us today. I knew you were very bummed after that. But again, you got the win, and nobody thinks that that's what you wanted. You know what I mean? You took what happened that was no fault of your own. So we'll talk to you again, hopefully before your next fight. I can't wait to see who's next for you and what happens. But I'm glad you got out of there with the win and that your health is okay. And, you know, thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, Curtis.
Thank you. Always appreciate being on the show. I love you guys. You guys are the best. Thank you.
All right.
Heck yeah,
we're
Curtis.
Fans, Curtis. We'll talk to you soon.
Congrats, Curtis.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 staked. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858. You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go. You push your body to the limit. Now maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's high-performance sports nutrition line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's training bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10 and you get 10% off. And Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters. By the way, who's a nicer guy than Curtis Blaydes? I mean, I imagine if he's punching you, you're not too fond of him, but you can't be a nicer guy in MMA than Blaydes.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. And I'm excited for him, man. He is looking different. It's like he always had all the tools.
Yeah.
It's just now he's actually believing in his hands. And he's got heavy hands.
Oh, yes, he does.
You know what I mean?
And maybe, you know what? Maybe John Jones is doing one of those things where he's looking, if he's ready to fight Stipe, like just try to get things, some momentum and things happening in the heavyweight division. Like, you know what I mean? Some, because he has no issue with those guys because DC's not there anymore and he's never interacted with most of those guys in a fight. So maybe this is just a chance to kind of start making noise in that division.
Dude, like I told, like I was just talking to Curtis, man. Fucking, dude, stir it up. Stir it up. Fuck, he doesn't like you. I don't like you either. How about that? Listen, hey, you know who did stir it up? Speaking of a different Curtis, Chris Curtis and Jack Hermanson.
Yeah, Hermanson fought a brilliant fight, man.
He really did. And I like, I listen, Chris Curtis was, I think, a little frustrated making like, Jack was like running away from him. But, and they had a little bit of heated moment at the end of the fight. But then they, you seen them afterwards on Instagram. They were having a drink together or whatever.
Oh, they did. Okay.
And that's the what you, we like Chris Curtis. He was on here with us and we love Jack.
Jack is so great. Yeah.
We like both guys and Chris Curtis took that on short notice. And that should be said because he's, you know, that might've made a difference as far as fatiguing goes. But Jack Hermanson did fight an excellent fight.
That was Jack being a really smart vet. Oh, sorry, Matt. That was Jack being a really smart veteran. He was fighting on the outside. He stayed out. He used his reach and he wasn't running. I mean, he was throwing punches. He was throwing a lot of kicks. He was very, very active.
Hey, producers, find, I love the English, man. I like that they're always singing because they had Molly McCann trying to cheer up Tom Aspinall and the whole bar was going, na 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 na. Tom Aspinall, Aspinall, Tom Aspinall, na 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 na. Tom Aspinall, Aspinall, Tom Aspinall.
By the way,
did you wait? Oh, did you?
If that's not the that should be the promotion for this episode. That right, that little clip of Matt singing should be the only promotion for this episode. This week on UFC Unfiltered and just you belting it out. No, I did not. And I love Molly McCann. Congratulations to her.
Oh my God.
That great win. She has looked really, really awesome.
And Hannah Goldie. Oh my, first of all, she looked like she could just bench press Molly.
Yeah. She looked very, very solid.
She looked strong, man. But that fucking Molly Meatball Helbow she hit her with. Dude, her spins are awesome.
Yeah.
Like that's what Hannah was not expecting that elbow, you know? I mean, it was really the timing and the accuracy. She's a fucking beast. And it's so funny, man. I like when they have a very good relationship, Patty and Molly. I like when they both fight on the same card and they both win, especially.
Yeah.
Because it's just like a fucking party.
And
and it makes me almost want to sing the Tom Aspinall song. Did you ever hear it?
I did not. I have a question for you. By the way, I could not believe three people went 30-27 Uzdemir over Paul Craig.
Well, this is the problem with Paul Craig. First of all, I enjoy the shit.
I love watching him fight.
But
maybe him laying on the ground, like trying to call him back, didn't look good.
He's so good on his jiu-jitsu. What the fuck does he have against the Top Game? I know you're good off your back.
Right.
Dude, his timing on, he gets in deep underneath his ass and he almost pulls the guy on top. But you don't, why don't you look to finish a takedown? I mean, I'm not being a dick.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not like he's just flopping the guard, which sometimes he does, but he's getting in deep and pulling the guy on top. So it's like, when you get in that deep, the timing is excellent. You're underneath the ass. What the fuck, man? Why don't you cut a corner? Would it kill you to get on all fours and do a duck under? I don't know why he has something against him getting on top.
Do you think, Matt, that it's like Ryan Hall does that sometimes too, where they almost look like they get hit and they go down. Like it almost looks like a knockdown, but it's not. It's him like almost, it's almost like doing a soccer thing where they fall to get a penalty. You're trying to bring a guy down with you. And I wonder if that looks bad for the judges that he's on the floor so much.
Yeah, well, Ryan Hall is so, like his jiu-jitsu is a little bit different and he latches on. I mean, they're both very dangerous.
Yes.
But I feel like Ryan Hall doesn't have maybe the wrestling. Like I don't know. Paul Craig was in deep with a lot. He did the hardest part. He timed a well-executed shot where he's underneath. He got past all the strikes, all the limbs, and he's in. And a lot of times he has his hand gripped underneath the butt, around the waist, whatever. And he fucking goes to his back. It's like, dude, you did the hardest part. You got to him without getting touched.
Yeah.
Finish the fucking take. How about you try to finish the takedown? If that doesn't work, guess what? You're on your back anyway. I just don't. But I listen, and I love the guy.
Yeah, I know you do. You're a big fan of him. Yeah.
But it was getting me a little frustrated. I'm like, hey, dude, you're getting your timing. Like, I mean, you're getting in deep. Don't just, how about plan B? Get on top. What the fuck? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But I could not believe it was 30-27, all three for Volkan Uzdemir. I mean, again, he didn't fight a bad fight, but I don't know. I just, maybe they weren't seeing the same things I was. By the way, Krylov, that brutal knockout of Gustafsson in the first round. I felt bad for Alexander Gustafsson. That was really a rough knockout.
Dude, this sport is a rough sport.
Yep.
Because Gustafsson went, Gustafsson's fantastic.
Yeah.
He really is. Any word on him after that? He didn't like fucking,
I don't know.
He didn't hang him up or nothing, did he? No.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I mean, because you went from fighting one of the best ever, a lot of people thinking you won that fight with John Jones, losing the rematch with him, having a good fight with DC, losing to DC. Beat former champion Glover Teixeira beautifully with a boxing combination that looked amazing. If you saw the way he put down Glover, and then he kind of fell off, you know, he lost the rematch with Jones, lost some big fights, and this fight wasn't competitive at all. Jim,
didn't he? No, it was not. Didn't he get stopped in the third round against Jones? Am I remembering that incorrectly?
First or second, a third or second, I forgot.
Yeah, I remember. Was it a submission?
I think it was a rear naked. I'm not sure though.
Yeah. Okay. The first fight was such a tremendous fight. I do think Jones won it. But that was an incredible. It was one of the toughest fights John Jones ever had.
Yeah.
Although Thiago Santos was a tough fight for him, and also Dom Reyes, who I think actually won his fight.
I wonder what song would they have for Dom Reyes. Dom Reyes, Dom Reyes.
Yeah,
Dom Reyes, Dom Reyes, Dom Reyes.
That would
Dom
probably.
Reyes, Dom Reyes, Dom Reyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Dom Reyes.
Yep.
The Dominator, Dom Reyes, Dom Reyes, Dom Reyes.
Yep.
Dom Reyes, Dom Reyes. Come on, Jimmy.
In a moment, I'm.
That's a good one, though. That should be his song.
Yeah.
No?
I mean.
That's Amadeus. What song was I doing from the 80s there? Amadeus? What was it? Do you know, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be ignored.
No. I'm reading a Chris Curtis quote. No, I'm not ignoring. I'm reading a Chris Curtis quote about Hermanson.
Oh, what did he say?
Just that, you know how he gave him the finger. Jack had said something to him, and I'm not sure what he said at the very end, but Curtis said he was definitely getting frustrated. He was taunting Hermanson, and then Jack said something, and he apologized to Chris Curtis. I guess he said something, and Curtis responded. He said, "Stupid Jack Hermanson is really a nice guy, and now I feel worse. Stupid, friendly Jack Hermanson."
That's freaking funny. Are you still celebrating? How do you feel?
I feel good. I got back in the gym today, so it was nice to go and crack a sweat. I'm sweating Kane's chicken fingers. I've just been eating ice cream and being a dang dipshit for a couple of days now. So, yeah, feeling good. Got back into the gym, moving around today. So that was fun. That was good.
I couldn't believe you survived some of those elbow. I mean, he was really landing in that second round. And, man, you're really tough because those elbows and those shots – there was a few times where you seemed to almost stop in your tracks.
Yeah, he had me short-circuiting out there. There's no doubt about it. But I was able to keep my feet under me and ultimately rally to get the win. And, you know, shout out to my coaches, to my people. Like, we put in work, and I genuinely do believe the work we put in with just my footwork and keeping my base underneath me, because that was the name of the game. Like, let's not break our base. Let's not get hit clean when we're on one foot. And I think it paid off, you know, even though I was taking punishment and absorbing hard shots, the work I put in through my training camp, it came into play.
Matt, who do you choose with? Who do you train with? This is your first time on here. We want to get to know you. Who do you train with? Who's your team? And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana, but I've been bouncing around my entire career. So okay. I turned pro in 2012. shortly thereafter, I moved out to American Top Team. I trained at American Top Team for 4 years.
Oh.
And then I started training out at CSA in Northern California with Kieran Fitzgibbons. And I was bouncing between AKA and there was even the alpha male guys, kind of cross training with those guys. Okay. So I kind of had a good thing going out there. Ultimately moved to Houston, Texas, close to my home, just so I could be close to my dad and my family. And I live in Houston now. And I drive up to Dallas and train at Fortis MMA on Mondays and Tuesdays. I also wrestle with a guy out in Dallas named Eric Sands. He's like the head, well, one of the head coaches out there at another squad. But I get work with him. And then the rest of the time I'm here in Houston, I'm working with my kickboxing coach, Alex Chang. And I'm also now working with Eve Edwards and the group over at Heritage Muay Thai. We're killing it. We're killing it.
I think DC shouted out. I don't know if that was that in your fight where he was telling you to keep your arms off the floor. I think DC shouted out what good advice that was, just to pull your arms up off the floor.
And that was Eve, you know, and that's what Eve does. He's there just to remind me of the things we already know how to do. And it's been so good since working with Eve. And obviously working with Coach Safe has also been fruitful.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but who was the ref in that fight? Because I wanted, before I forget, compliment the ref for not stopping
him, huh?
He was great, that guy, because there was a couple of times where when you looked like you were almost out on your feet, and then you were on top dropping vicious elbows, Mudarji is cut up, and he doesn't stop it. He lets you guys fight. I thought that ref did a great job of knowing when to stop the fight.
Yeah, Jacob Montalvo, the patron saint of violence. Yeah, God bless him. What a stud.
Now, Eve Edwards, now, is he doing a lot of coaching? Is he working with you a lot as a coach now?
Yes, yeah. He's got a spot here. He's partnered up with Heritage Muay Thai. And Michael Corley, who's also an excellent Muay Thai instructor, a guy that who I get to work with too on a regular basis. So yeah, we got a good thing going out here. We've got quite the crew, and I think y'all are going to see a lot of special things coming out of this area and this little group of guys we got together.
And what do you think about the fact that they're making an interim belt? How do you feel about the Moreno against Kai Kara France?
Good. I think Brandon Moreno is the champ anyways. So if, Figueredo's got stuff going on, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but we got to keep the division moving. I think they should do interim titles more often when things are being held up. So nothing. Let's keep it moving. Brandon Moreno, Kai Kara France, both those guys deserve it, so why not?
They do seem to be doing it more often than years ago. Like years ago, you didn't see a lot of that unless a guy was really fucked up and out for a while. But now it seems like if there's a surgery required or if there's anything done, they kind of like, all right, well, let's get an interim belt because A, it's a title fight, and B, we know who fights the champ when the champ is ready to fight. So it's a kind of a win-win for the UFC and the fighters.
I think so. And honestly, I mean, yeah, they're world championships too. Like if I'm ever the interim world champ, I'm the dang champ of the world. Don't ever get it twisted up. You know, you get to that point, you've earned it. I believe that even though there might be an asterisk there shouldn't be. Because when things get held up and things get, you got to keep it moving. That's the sport. This isn't boxing. This isn't a sport where guys get to fight once a year either. There are hungry contenders coming up, and this is the game we play. And that's why it's so beautiful. And that's why it's so good.
Hey man, I enjoyed your groundwork the other day, man. I like how you use, I was talking after that event, and some guys are really good at the submissions, but their distance management and offsetting balance on bottom is not fucking there. So if that's not there, they get hit in the face and all of a sudden their brown belt, they get knocked in their face as a purple belt, they get elbowed again, they're a blue belt. You on bottom, you're offsetting the balance. I saw a fucking scissor sweep into a fucking triangle. Like, what do you credit that to? Like when you're rolling your jujitsu, are you keeping in mind the all right, we're rolling, I got a fight coming up. I don't have control of the head. I'm going to have to open up my legs. Is that the way you're thinking with always the distance management with the strikes?
I've kind of always had a open guard style where I'm trying to get things. I'm trying to make things happen. But I've got to really credit that to the fact that all I've ever done is fight MMA. you know, I walked into a gym and started doing jujitsu, sure, but it was always jujitsu for MMA. So,
yes.
And with that being said, I'll walk around the corner to Henzo Gracie Lake Houston and get tied in knots by a blue belt. You know, like my jujitsu is good for what I do, which is MMA, but it could use some work. And we're gonna start shoring things up with the jujitsu as well. But all I've ever done is MMA. I'm probably the oldest of that generation of guys who only walked into a gym and started training mixed martial arts. So I attribute it to that. That's what I do. I'm a fighter. I'm not a jujitsu guy. My guard might not even be particularly good for a sport jujitsu type setting, but in MMA it works. And yeah,
that's a fight, man. That's at the end of the day, that's what it should be good for. And I'll tell you right now, I feel you're really downplaying your grappling skills, man. That was a fucking nice try. That was legit.
Hey, not bad for a purple belt.
Fuck, hell yeah, man.
Did you feel him go out? Did you know he was out, or did you have to get hit by the ref before you knew?
I think it was somewhat wishful thinking. He kind of stopped moving, and I told the ref he was out. I didn't really know.
Oh, you said he was out. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I told the ref he was out, but I was just trying to get out of there.
That's funny.
How old were you when you started training?
18 years old.
Oh, okay. So, what are you, 32 now? You've got 14 years you've been doing it?
Yep. Shit.
And you said you're the oldest of the generation that's pure MMA. Do you mean like, as opposed to like the guys before, like, you know, guys like Matt or guys like Liddell who would train one thing in particular and then kind of morph into MMA?
Most of the guys in the generation before me, they came from some type of background. Yeah. So that's what I mean by that. I walked into an MMA gym on day one and my instructor was a blue belt who boxed. So that's kind of what we did.
Hey, Maddie, what do you like to do for fun, buddy? What kind of hobbies you got? Not training related.
Okay. I collect sports cards.
Oh, yeah,
I'm really into sports.
Really?
Cards.
What kind?
That's a nice one.
Sorry, Jimmy, don't put yours up, Jimmy.
Two things. First of all, I thought he said sports cars. Second of all,
How do you have cards? All right, guards, Jimmy. Don't make me found.
No, you're right. You were right. But the thing is that bothers me is you had it so ready. Like he said sports cards. You went, oh, like this? Like you just had it ready to hold up.
Hey, well, I have a sports card. That's a cool thing. You know, when I was a little boy, it's all I could have dreamed of. A little boy collecting cards, that's what I wanted. So, you know, fighting in the UFC now, Panini, shout out to those guys. They picked up the licensing and they produced some nice cards. So, heck yeah.
I got everything really ready, Jimmy.
You really
like,
do.
I'm like the carrot top of fucking podcasters with the fucking.
So what do you, I used to collect cards, baseball cards. Do you collect any sport in particular or anything?
I collect football.
You do football. Okay. Yeah. And is there any, what's your holy grail of football cards if you get your hand on one?
Oh, I've got to get a Tom Brady Bowman Chrome graded, and anything above an 8 would be cool, but that's a big card. That's one for me as a football guy. That's the GOAT, Tom Brady. I think that's going to be the big card moving forward. So,
is that his rookie card?
That's his rookie card. Yeah. That's what's considered to be his true rookie card. And that Chrome, it's nice. They're big cards. So that's one that I'm going to need to get my hands on, but I collect heavy. I'm a Saints guy. I'm an LSU fan. So what kind of got me back into collecting cards was LSU won the national title in 2019. Joe Burrow went number one overall. So I was like, I'm going to go get me some Burrow cards. And one thing led to another, and I'm really into this thing now.
Yeah.
Are you big when there's like the Super Bowl coming up and stuff? Are you just like, oh, are you that guy? Like, you love your football games?
Oh, it would have been. Yeah, I'm a football guy. I'm a football guy. Hey, and all the guys from Louisiana in the U.S., we're all football guys. We all are.
Right.
So. Yeah.
And why Tom Brady? How did you like, why was it just because you liked that position so much, or did you just kind of, when he was, you know, when you were younger, like that was just the guy?
You know, I'm not even a huge, that's just the card.
Oh, like, okay.
Talking about the card in the collection, the one to have, that's the card. I'm a Tom Brady fan because I do believe he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
But I'm a Saints collector and LSU collector. Those are the guys that I'm mainly after. So, but yeah, I just say that card in regards to like, if I had a, you said the grail, and for me, that's my
sure. Grail. Do you now? Do you get sports memory? I used to get stuff signed by people. Usually they sign it to me because I'm such an ass. I'll never sell it. Do you get like football signed or jerseys, or is it just cards?
It's just cards. I mean, there are opportunities to have jerseys and get stuff like that. And I'm sure I will. You know, I'd like to be at a couple Saints games this year. So hopefully the right people are listening. But I would like to be at a couple Saints games this year. And we'll see. Yeah, it'll be cool.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Matt's into cards. You got Brandon into? Legos. Yeah, everybody's into different shit. You know what I mean?
Hey, we're all just normal goofballs.
Yeah, Jimmy's into, so don't ask what he's into. But anyway, listen,
I collect fingers, but I'm not gonna tell you where.
Matt, you don't want to hear this shit. Oh, fuck. Listen, man. Hey, I like getting to know Matty. Your last fight was so fucking exciting. Are you taking a little break now? And are you looking to get, you look good. A little, your black eye's healing up. You looking to get back in there soon?
Yeah. We've already got a date. I've already got a name. Everything's already kind of, we haven't put pen to paper just yet. They're going to give me some time off, though. It's not going to be in October. We're going to get, because I'm going to take 45 days from taking any type of blunt force trauma to the face.
Smart, dude. Smart.
But we're back moving around already. I feel great. I like to move with momentum, and I feel like I've got some momentum right now. I feel fresh. We got some injuries, a little knickknacks we're going to get together, but I'm healthy. We'll take care of the concussion protocol, make sure that, I mean, they told me I got a concussion. I don't know. Somebody's got to convince me, but I feel pretty sharp.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. Some of those shots, man, they were, I've watched that fight, I think, three times. It was it really is one of the best rounds of MMA I've ever watched.
It was
really exciting. Every aspect of MMA was well fought. But yeah, I'm not surprised after some of those shots. I was like, I can't believe, even after I saw it twice, I'm like, I still can't fucking believe that you were able to secure that win after taking some of those elbows. I mean, that was really
He had me buzzed good. And it was really the first one that he laid on me, turned my head all the way in the opposite direction.
Jeez.
And it really, really, really had me hurt. I was buzzed. So I was being honest when I said, you know, I don't even remember most of those because I didn't. I was literally just in a gap there. So happy to get through it. Again, shout out to my coaches. And I'm a bad dude. I'm built for this.
Yeah, you really are, man.
Heck yeah, man.
Well, listen, man, it was good. Good. Glad we got you on. And now you got me looking at Tom Brady rookie cards. I don't need a fucking new obsession.
That's right. Hey, don't look them up. It's wild out here.
But look, we'll definitely love to talk to you again when your next fight's coming up and when you know who you're fighting. And, but that was just as a fan of watching UFC, thanks for such a great fight, man. That was really, three times I've watched it, and each time I'm as excited watching it. Just great job.
Thank you guys. Thank you for having me, Matt. You're a legend. Love this sport. I've long been a fan of it, you know, and it's surreal for me to be here, but I've known for a long time that I was a real guy. And I've stumbled a little bit, you know, stumbled out of the blocks coming into my UFC career, had some curious performances. I know I've fallen short here and there, but anybody who knows me knows this sport, and I've been everywhere. That's the thing. You're one person removed from it. You just ask around. I'm a bad dude. So I'm not surprised by things. We are going to get back out there and fight another tough competitor next. And we'll see where the pieces lie after that. But I truly believe I can make a run.
Yeah. Shit, Matt, you're only as good as your last fight. That means you're fucking awesome. So congrats, man. Great fight, brother.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care, man. Enjoy.
Take care, Matt.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up?
Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, Jimmy, I like the way that kid fights.
I do, too. I'm glad we got him out of his schnell. I was really happy.
Oh, why would you use my joke?
Because you were trying to blame me with it.
Why did you
try to blame?
I wanted to bring it up to him. I don't know if he like it or get it. I didn't want
to
like.
Well, you tried to say what is your joke, so I just switched it to something else.
You did. You're the master. You deflected that
thing. I'm good at sidestepping. Yeah.
You know, but
blame
me. Yeah, Jimmy. Hey, you know who else is good at sidestepping? Yeah, it's a horrible segue.
That was a great segue. Who else?
Volkan Uzmadir. Uzmadir. Who's my dear? Uzmadir.
You had it.
Do it again.
You just did it.
Volkan Uzmadir.
Yeah.
You're a fucking asshole. Say it, guys, for me.
Well, you said it.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. Listen, Volkan.
Yeah. Which one?
You know which one. Volkan Uzmadir. Fuck Uzmadir. Uzmadir. Uzmadir.
Who's that?
Fuck you, Jimmy. You're a goddamn bully. Who is, well, say his name for me. You're being mean.
Volkan. Yeah. He fought Paul Craig. It was a great fight. I didn't think it was a 30-27 win, but your point was valid about maybe Paul Craig should, you know, do a little fighting on top. But, you know, congratulations to Volkan.
Pronounce his last name for me.
Paul Craig.
Volkan.
Uzmadir.
You're being a fuck. The guy deserves
Volkan Uzdemir.
Say it again.
Volkan Uzdemir.
Uzdemir.
OEZ, yeah.
Uzdemir.
Uzdemir.
I'm sorry, everybody. Listen to me. Volkan Uzdemir, I thought, listen, he had to survive some shit that first round. And he did. He survived it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he might have lost that first round, might not, but I think he won the fight. I think Paul Craig, he had no plan B. And he could have. I think when he wanted to rely on his hands, he was doing okay too. Yeah, he's. I think he's got to add in a couple of takedowns. He can close the distance very well. His timing getting in on a shot was excellent, and then he just gets lazy. He just says, "All right, now pull you on top. We didn't get dressed up for nothing."
Yeah,
that's from Braveheart, actually.
Yeah,
sorry. Anyway, I enjoy watching the fight. We talked about how good Nikita looked versus Alexander. He just looked like a monster.
Oh, by the way, we didn't talk about how good Pimp. Did we talk about the Pimblett's, that beautiful knee to the head of Jordan Leavitt? I don't think we did because we were going to have him on and we figured we would just talk about his fight to him.
He's got such self. And I'll tell you right now, let's give Jordan Leavitt some credit. He won the first round, arguably. And he was, arguably, he was on him.
He was close, but he won.
And he was sticking to his game plan.
Yeah.
And the kid only had one loss. So it's not like he's a chump.
No.
But Paddy's got a belief in himself. Like that, even if she starts going wrong, he doesn't look like he gets upset. And it's just like a matter of time he feels he's going to get his way.
And he's good at getting up, too. He's really good. Even if you take him down, he got up very quickly. And obviously he initiated the ground quite a few times going for guillotine. So he's very comfortable on the ground. It was a great fight. You're right. He is confident. And he's a fun guy to watch. And he tried to do the teabag thing that he talked about.
You know, yeah, he did. From like Modern Warfare 2. Anyway, Muhammad Mukhaev.
Yes.
Holy shit, did he look dominating. Guys, am I mistaken here? Is Mukhaev the one who was calling out Paddy Pimblett? Am I right with that? Is he even the same weight class?
He's a flyweight. And Pimblett is... Featherweight. Or lightweight. No, he's 155, yeah.
Oh, so they're different weight classes.
Yeah.
The fuck? All right, so forget that. I thought that was actually something, but it's nothing. Anyway, Mukhaev looked fucking awesome. I'll tell you, Nathan,
Nathaniel Wood over Charles Rosa? Yes.
Yeah, Wood looked awesome. Rosa's always tough.
He's always tough.
But I mean, it was almost worse for me. He was tough because Wood had his way, and Wood looked awesome.
Yeah, he did. He looked.
And you know what? And I like Mark Tecchese. You know, I do. But
he wanted that win. I mean, it wasn't the most exciting fight. Let's be truthful. But
he knew, and the commentators were saying the right thing. Bisping was saying the right thing. Felder, he could get the takedown down at will. He was dominating. Why don't we look for some fight-ending elbows or punches or
take some chances? Yeah.
If you're not going to submit him, beat the living shit out of him. Because guess what? If he got back up, you could put him back down again. So, Mukasey, congrats on the win. I think he could have maybe really put a stamp on it. Demir, he better fucking take some wrestling classes. Because
yeah, he was very.
Mukasey's not exactly, DC in there. He's a good wrestler. I mean, his fence, he's working on it more.
Yeah.
But he was primarily known as a kickboxer.
And you're saying that he really had no ability to stop Tecchese at all. Yeah, I agree. But they were saying that during the fight, too, that he should take a few more chances. I think Bisping said that. Take a few chances.
100%.
You know you can bring him back down.
The fuck? 100%. Nicholas Dalby defeated Claudia Silva. That was handily. I thought that was a well done, good fight. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Let me see. Who else am I forgetting here? One that – well, you just said it.
Where Pierce over Americani. Yeah.
Yes. I was very impressed with Pierce's grappling. I like Jonathan Pierce's wrestling. And his jiu-jitsu, everything on the floor was fucking beautiful. And he just looked good all around, you know? What else? What else could you talk about? Tell me. Anything else you see? Anything you want to talk about?
I mean, we covered the card, I think. It was really we don't have to talk about who won the picks and all that stuff. Like, who cares who had more right picks?
You're right. So anyway, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we both.
I mean, I did have Hermanson via decision. And I had Blades first round three stoppage. I was off by two rounds.
Yeah.
Although you had Pimblett by strikes in the second. You were correct almost. And I had him by decision.
Yeah. You're so cool.
Well, thank you.
Jimmy, do you like my tan?
You do look. I was looking before. I look like a fat photo negative of you.
No!
You look like me if I cared and was in shape.
It's not true, Jimmy.
Look at how pale I am.
You're not pale, Jimmy.
I'm like a dead person. I'm just, it looks like you're talking to Dracula.
Eddie Munster. No, Jimmy. fucking great. Really quick, I went to the Rise Invitational in Westbury, Long Island.
Okay.
At the Space Theater. It's nice. The same place my wife's going to have her next fight there in September. It's a nice place that my kids had dance competitions there. I like that it's in Westbury. I was not going to go because my knee's still a fucking kind of a grapefruit, believe it or not. And it's swelled up and it's kind of annoying. So it's like, I go to the school and I watch the guys train, but the thing's so crowded, I didn't want to go. But we had like fucking 10 people competing, you know? I had my buddy, Black Belt Jason Rao in the tournament. And there's so many guys competing. Slim had a super fight, Belt he had to defend. And, I had to go. I said, fuck it, I'm going. But when I go there, you know, like my brother-in-law Edwin's like, look, I'm not going to let nobody go near you. I'm like, nah, it's all right, buddy. He's over there. Like, yeah, it's like I got my own bodyguard. If I want my bodyguard, I got Uncle Edwin there. So anyway, Edwin, I hung out. Yeah, but listen, I had my whole army there. And Lou Neglia, I know the guy so well. I got to sit in the first row. And I'm glad I went. I'm really glad I went, man, because from the kids to the fucking, well, we had this one kid, Josh, who's Jason's number one student, such a good kid. He won his match. Jason got second place. He ended up getting a little tired in the finale, in the finals, and lost. But in all, I just had such a good time being there. And I'm proud of everybody that competed. And I'm also proud that so many friends and family go to support them.
Yeah. Jimmy.
Stop looking at me like I'm a sissy.
No, I think it's nice.
All right. Anyway, that was my weekend, Jimmy. You know, I had a good time, man. But what about you? What did you do? Anything special?
I was in Denver, buddy. Did my shows. They were phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
Happy my flights were on time, and I'm in Rochester in August. That's it. It was great. I'm happy to.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to Rogan, and he had a comic on. I forgot the guy's name, but he was funny. He seems like an Italian guy. He's definitely a New York guy. And he was talking
to Shane Gillis.
No, it wasn't Shane. It was
Mark Norman.
I'll tell you right now, only because I don't want to be rude. I'm going to tell you right now who it is.
Not Joey Diaz. You would know Diaz.
No, it's not. I know Diaz. I'll tell you right now who it was.
Let me guess.
Oh, no. I was about to say Paul Verzi. Paul Verzi.
Oh, my God. How fucking funny. Paul Verzi is really funny.
I like him.
He has a special just come out. He's a great comic. He worked with Bill Burr for many years.
That's right.
And they do a podcast together. Paul Verzi, and he has fucking anger management problems.
No, he's funny.
Screams at everybody. He's great. He's really funny.
That's what's great about those podcasts. You get to learn, you get to like get new people that you can like. So anyway, they were talking about like the crowds and the comics and like how they deal with the crowds. And if, you know, nobody, and he's like, nobody wants it to bomb or, he said something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing. He goes, yeah, but there's been times, like he goes, like Jim Norton, he goes, there's times in the cellar. He's like, oh, okay, this is the way the crowd's going to be. This is the way it's going. And he just goes full tilt. Like you just go, like, you know, it's going to go bad. So you just like go in on him. And what he said, I totally understood what he said. It was complimentary for sure. But they said some nice things about you, but that's what you mean. If you feel the crowd's going to be a little negative or not digging your stuff, you don't try to win them over.
I want them to like me and laugh, but there are times where if a joke doesn't work and I know that they've objected to it being too rough, they have to be punished. And the way they are punished, and I'll tell them, well, now that you didn't like that, and then I'll do something else. They must take their medicine.
I don't know if it's because I know you, but the way he was describing it really made me, I knew exactly what he was saying. It was just,
it always feels good though when your peers, I'm sure Matt, you know, when fighters say things to you and when, you know, like I've known Joe for so many years and Paul Verzi is such an active, hilarious comic from New York. It always feels very great when guys you respect compliment you like that.
How does it feel? Jimmy, you're very respected in your field. How does that, doesn't that feel good?
Thank you.
Doesn't that feel good? Like it feels better. Like sometimes when I have these guys on, like you said, they say something to me that feels better than the average fan, doesn't it? A little bit, because they're in the field. Not that I appreciate everything from any kind of compliment, but don't you feel like when the guys in your field respect you, you're kind of like,
Sure. Yeah, here's why. Because obviously fan support is what makes the money for you, and you love the fans. You need the fans. But when somebody who does what you do respects you, it feels a little better because they know all the tricks of whatever that trade is. So like where a fan of something might not know, like, hey, this guy's good at this, and comics to look at that other guy and go, oh, that guy's a thief or that guy's a hack. So if your comics like you, that means that you're probably doing something right. So you know what I mean? Like that's kind of why it's a bit more of a compliment. It always feels, because if I was doing things that were like just tricks, the other comics would know it in a second. Most of the fans would too, but some of them wouldn't. I'm babbling. I just don't know how to take a compliment. It feels really nice.
Yeah, no, well, listen, I heard that episode when they brought you up and then Joe's like, yeah, and Jimmy's doing, he goes, and then he goes, this is typical. This is me like in a nutshell, right? Because then Joe starts going through all the shit you're doing. It's like, oh, he's going to mention Unfiltered for sure in a second with his good buddy, Matt Serra. I knew he's going to say that, right? Because I know Joe. I know he's going to say it. So he goes, he goes, but Jimmy's also got these great, you know, the podcast. I'm like, oh, the podcast. I'm going, oh, Joe, go ahead. And he goes, he's got the, you know, that Chipperson. I go, and he goes, oh, and then all of a sudden Paul, he starts going,
Doug Bell.
Doug Bell. I go, no, fuck. I go, wait, guys, bring it back. So I wasn't mentioned at all about that, but it wasn't about me. But I thought maybe they'd bring up the UFC Unfiltered about how we're killing it on this. But listen to that podcast and you get a lot of plugs on you. And I listen, I'm only joking. I'm a half joking. I like that almost as much as me being mentioned, but I do like that.
Yeah, me too.
It makes me happy when you get your respect.
You know? Thank you, buddy.
Okay. All right. So you said you're going to be at Fat Pat Black Pussy.
Fat Black Wednesday. Every Wednesday for the rest of the summer, I'll be there.
Whoa.
And I do Cameo. Matt Serra, of course, does Cameo.
Yes.
And check out Sarah BJJ if you're out on Long Island. I truly do wish I was out there. And when I start taking jiu-jitsu, I'm going to go out there And just sit in on a class or something. I really want to do that, but I want to be taking it first so I can not just watch, but I want to like actually be in one class.
When my knee's a little bit better, dude, you're light. We'll be rolling around.
Yeah. I would like that. Just so to sit fun. In and watch it. Yeah. Maybe I'll get my brown belt before then. What I'll do is I'm going to start taking it like in the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to go to a place that gives out belts liberally.
I don't want to be extra positive, but I think this is going to be a great week, Jimmy.
Good.
Was that awkward?
No.
We're getting off now. I just want to be like, hey, it's Monday. I just want to give you that boom, that boost.
I appreciate it.
I could be weird. You know I love you, though, Jimmy. Should we stop and do the last
one? No, I think you're right. I do think that we're going to have a great week. And maybe we'll have, by the way, thank you to Matt Schnell and, of course, yes, Curtis Blades, who we love.
And he likes us. Everybody likes us. Yeah. Jimmy, our Unfiltered Army likes us, loves us.
I hope so.
And we love them. I'll talk to you in a couple of days, my bird.
All right, buddy. Have a great week. I'll see you soon.
Love you, Jimmy.
Love you, young fella. Goodbye.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.